As it pursues doctrine and strategy for a new era, the Pentagon has been releasing a series of policy documents. One of them is called the DoD Digital Modernization Strategy. It encompasses goals for cybersecurity and artificial intelligence, among other things. Joining me with highlights and how they'll carry it out, Senior Advisor in the Office of the Secretary of Defense, Dr. Clark Culley. Dr. Culley, good to have you on.
Thanks, Tom.
This strategy is 70, 80 pages. What is it designed to do fundamentally?
The Digital Modernization Strategy centers the department on four key tech initiatives. The first is cloud computing. The second is artificial intelligence. The third is command, control, and communication, or C3 modernization. And the fourth is cybersecurity. So these technologies in concert are intended to help the warfighter be equipped with the modern tools that it needs to be effective on the battlefield and to create a more efficient and effective DoD enterprise.
Now, you've got a national defense strategy that has been revised, and that seems to be driving a lot of the talk in the various pieces of the Pentagon and the military establishment. How does this tie in with the national defense strategy?
They're very closely linked. The national defense strategy lays out this changing character of great power competition and a changing strategic environment in which competitors, including China and Russia, are leveraging new and emerging technologies from the private sector to create a much more challenging and contested cyberspace and information domain. And therefore, we need to respond to this all-domain challenge with an increasing technology base that allows us to innovate using these new technologies for innovation and adaptation, leveraging commercial partners at the speed and the scale that the future is going to require.
All right, I want to talk about modernizing command, control, and communications for a minute, because C3 has always been essential to military operations. What does the modernization strategy in general call for to happen to C3?
So C3 is the way in which we push data to the tactical edge, and it includes the modernization of our satellite communications, both wideband and narrowband, having assured access to precision navigation and timing, the modernization of the tactical radios and the waveforms that they use on the battlefield, the management of the electromagnetic spectrum to allow more joint use of that spectrum, and the investment in our secure and contingency communication systems that we use to connect senior leaders anywhere under any conditions.
I mean, a lot of those initiatives were ongoing already before the strategy, correct?
Correct, but this prioritizes and focuses our investments on key technology enablers. So, for example, in the C3 domain, it focuses on 5G technology and how we're going to use these advanced technologies to deliver much more bandwidth and much more resilience to these networks that the warfighter is going to depend on at the tactical edge, and ensuring that these things can degrade gracefully and predictably in a contested environment.
Because when the DoD talks about cloud computing, there is always the acknowledgement that in some cases the reach back or backhaul to a cloud may not be existing in a austere tactical edge situation. So does this look at perhaps a way of making portable bandwidth to go with the warfighters to that tactical edge where the backhaul to a cloud would not be needed?
The cloud architecture includes a tactical component that has forward computing and forward storage that can synchronize to the cloud when possible, but continue to operate in a resilient way when disconnected or at degraded bandwidth.
And because when it's not going long distances through airwaves and so on, then it's probably more secure too, anyhow.
Yes, but we have to look at security from a comprehensive approach, including the security of the links themselves, but also being able to operate in a way that ensures the integrity of the supply chain, the tactics, techniques, and procedures we use to operate securely, the way in which we continuously update the software to ensure that our communication links are modernized and secured to the highest standards, as well as making sure that we have a series of redundant and fallback capabilities for a degraded environment in which, you know, the warfighter isn't single-threadedly dependent upon any particular link, but can rely on this more mesh network to get the information he needs when and where required.
We're speaking with Dr. Clark Culley, Senior Advisor in the Office of the Secretary of Defense. And let's talk about artificial intelligence for a moment, too, because that has a million applications, both in evaluating threats and in very tactical situations in warfare. What are the general goals for and objectives for artificial intelligence?
So the artificial intelligence approach is laid out in a recent AI strategy, and I encourage your listeners to look at the unclassified summary online. It lays out five initial tenets. The first is to deliver AI-enabled capabilities for key national missions. Currently, we're looking at initiatives in predictive maintenance, tools for humanitarian assistance and disaster relief, making sense of the cyber domain, joint warfighting, and the health of the warfighter. Second, the strategy lays out an approach for doing AI capability delivery in a centralized way. We need a center of excellence to pool our AI expertise, and then we need to create a common foundation that creates the tools and resources that the warfighter can use to develop custom AI applications that various organizations and services and departments require, but leveraging common tools, tests, and evaluation techniques, validation and verification processes, libraries, data sets, et cetera.
Because for things that operate in the ocean, in the air, on the ground, that move vehicles and so forth, there is also a strategy, or at least the planning for deployment of autonomy and robotics. Do you see artificial intelligence tying over to those types of platforms?
Artificial intelligence is a tool that can be used to enhance autonomous systems, but we certainly don't want to conflate autonomy and autonomous weapon systems or lethal weapon systems with the use of AI, because AI can be everything from smart search and spam filtering of your email all the way to creating very sophisticated weapons effects across multiple domains. And AI potentially, like advanced general-purpose computing, is a robust and flexible tool that's extensible to a wide range of use cases. So we certainly want to use it wherever it's appropriate and creates more capability and efficiency for the warfighter, but we don't want to be prescriptive in focusing just on the high-end weapon systems when there's a lot of enterprise capabilities, including just making sense of all the rich data sets that we have available to us in the Department of Defense, and making better decisions and judgments and programmatic evaluations based on all this big data that we're fortunate to have.
Sure. And zooming out for a minute, you've got the military services, which have some say over what it is they develop and use for their particular domains. Then there's the joint effect, which means they operate together. And then there's the fourth estate that has all of these other functions that surround the military services. How does a strategy like this somehow, how do you push it down through all of these organizations so that there's some cogency into the way you carry it out?
There's a couple of pieces to that. One is that we ensure that our role as the Chief Information Officer office is able to provide a common foundation on which the services can leverage for their particular needs and particular mission sets. So the Joint Artificial Intelligence Center is a perfect example of that. The JEDI, General Purpose Cloud Environment, is another example of that. We want to provide the information backbone and tools that the services can put their custom hosted applications as needed, and that we meet regularly to ensure that we're aligned with common purposes, common prioritization, and that our budgets modernize the areas in which we think we're accepting the greatest risk. So one of the functions that the Chief Information Office recently received is providing oversight of the nearly $50 billion in IT investments that the department makes. And we're in the process of that right now, making sure that we've done the hard work of reconciling our investments to ensure that they're supportive and complementary.
Dr. Clark Culley, a senior advisor in the Office of the Secretary of Defense, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you, Tom, and thanks to your listeners.
We'll post this interview together with a link to the digital strategy at federalnewsnetwork.com/Federal Drive. Hear the Federal Drive on demand and on your device. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts or Podcast One. Still to come on Federal News Radio, the Navy takes another step towards energy independence. It's the Federal Drive with Tom Temin, Federal News Radio, part of the Federal News Network.